Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Inyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and what a thrill to be in studio with Doug McBurney.
Just glad to be here, although I'm quite upset. I'm angry.
Doug, we're just back from Canada.
Yes. Welcome back.
And so we have today two predictions to discuss. One was from Sunday.
Yeah.
It's devastating.
Yeah.
Another was from Fred Williams and I on Real Science Radio. A stunning, exciting confirmation.
Yes. That one will be fun.
That's tremendous.
I can't wait to hear
it. The one you made is tragic in that we're here to announce that you made it on Sunday.
Right.
And it was confirmed. We also want to talk about potheads in Canada.
Potheads in Canada.
Are they as stupid as potheads in the U.S.? That's the question.
That'll be interesting to flesh that one out.
Cheryl and I had the most wonderful time 10 days in Canada, but we heard about a group of potheads in Abbotsford.
Oh, yeah?
So I'll relate that to you, and you tell me if they're just as stupid as the ones in the U.S.
Okay.
And then you came up with a story for today about a pro-life sign to be flown.
Now, this is pretty cool. We'll talk about this.
Yeah. Because,
you know, we unfurled the world's largest protest sign at the Democrat National Convention 2008.
Yeah, 8 years ago.
Yes, it was a rousing success.
22 letters on the mountains.
Yep.
West of Denver, visible to the whole metropolitan area.
Yes, it was.
And it was 666 feet long.
Precisely.
510 feet high, and it said, DNC destroys unborn children.
Which they do.
And the DNC were in all caps in a different color.
Yellow.
They were yellow.
Coward yellow.
The font. I believe instead of white, it was...
The name of the dye we used was called Coward Yellow.
And it cost us $1,000 to get that dye.
Just for the dye.
In wholesale containers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how large the letters were. At any rate, there's a brand new sign going to be flown over the RNC.
Uh-huh.
So we'll get to that. But what do the letters say? RNC?
RNC, the new sign that's going to fly?
Yeah.
It's going to say Rescue Unborn Children. And the RNC will be highlighted.
And the N is in unborn, just like our DNC.
Yes.
And if you Google world's largest protest sign, of course, we're number one.
Got to be number one.
And if you Google just world's largest sign, forget the protest. And we're talking out of like hundreds of millions of pages. World's largest sign, number one image, the first image at the top.
Yes. And so we will, this organization is also going to fly a banner over the DNC. And we will reveal what their sign is going to say.
Yeah. And these guys are, sadly, they're regulators.
Which means they want to regulate the murder of innocent children.
Yeah, regulate child killing.
Right.
And don't fight to end it now. That's not wise. It's not wise.
No.
Fight to regulate it. So we decide when, where, and how they can kill unborn children.
Yes. Well, we'll get into that. But now let's go to the predictions.
Okay, your prediction.
So on Sunday, I attended Denver Bible Church, and the sermon, I didn't get to hear the sermon. I was teaching the kids.
It was about the Dallas shootings.
My wife
Baton Rouge,
and my eldest daughter said it was phenomenal. It was incredible. They were very thankful to have been at Denver Bible Church.
It was devastating. And I did share some of the same material on the radio show yesterday.
Yes, which I did get to listen to.
About the shootings and that coroners need to begin reporting the cause of death in a number of these police shootings as suicide by cop.
Mm.
You know, when it's a suicide, often the coroner has quite a task. They got to figure out, was this a suicide?
Right.
And is it by hanging, carbon monoxide? Is it an accident? And when there's evidence for suicide by cop, they need to begin reporting that. Coroners do.
It would make sense. That would be logical, reasonable, rational, and it would be dealing with reality right then and there in the real world, in real time.
Yeah, and maybe somebody in the audience who's volunteered with us wants to help us. We should put a letter out to 30 or 40 coroners' offices urging them to begin reporting more fully the cause of death in these officer-involved shootings.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So Sunday, we're leaving. Denver Bible Church is wrapping up. I had to let you know that, unfortunately, I was going to have to go up to Casper, Wyoming on Monday for work.
So you couldn't be in studio. Couldn't be in studio. Normal Monday slot.
Yes.
As a co-host.
Yeah.
And so I said, Doug, this is the first show since these police murders.
Yeah.
And it's sad that you won't be there, but of course we'll hold down the fort. And you said, Bob, on Tuesday, we could talk about the police officers who were murdered on Monday.
That's what I said.
And so it's tragic,
yeah,
but that's what we'll do.
Mm.
And so on Monday, yesterday, were any law enforcement officers murdered?
Two bailiffs were shot by a suspect in court in St. Joseph, Michigan.
Yeah.
And thankfully, he was shot and killed by a parole officer who was in the courthouse.
Yeah.
But yes, they were retired police officers, bailiffs, officers of the court,
yeah,
and they were murdered yesterday.
Right.
In this environment in which it seems like it's open season on the police.
Open season on the police.
It feels that way.
Barack Obama in Dallas, where these five officers were murdered. I haven't listened to his whole, I don't know if it's a half hour, but here are three things he said. And for this, he's an accomplice. It doesn't matter what pablum he said about we suffer with you, we grieve with you. Thank you for your service. You put your life on the line for us. All that is meaningless when he said this. I understand these protests. They can be messy. Police can get hurt. As he's looking at the families of the officers in the front row of the officers who were killed. Police can get hurt?
Hurt?
They were
he
murdered.
Hurt?
I understand. Could you imagine at a Planned Parenthood, an anti-abortion protest, if some extremist killed some cops.
Mm.
Could you imagine Obama saying, I understand these protests. Police can't get hurt. He's obviously defending the protesters, regardless of the fact that in their protest, they call for cops to be murdered.
Wow.
In their protest.
So I this could be too conspiratorial, but the fact that he said police can get hurt, it's almost as if he's saying, go ahead.
Well,
keep going. Do it more. Cops can get hurt. I don't know.
I can't believe he was allowed
to visit Dallas.
He's an accomplice. He is an accomplice after the fact.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I don't even know. I haven't even got to hear this. Do we have a little bit of this?
Yeah. We need to confirm that he actually said those words because that is a bit hard to believe.
Yeah.
That the President of the United States.
And do you remember when the two officers in New York City were assassinated?
I do.
Through the Black Lives Matter movement?
Yes.
And then the mayor, de Blasio, comes to the hospital where they're declared dead. And there were about 40 police officers there in a hallway. And as he walked in, they all turned their backs to him.
Oh, I remember
every
that.
Every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That was absolutely appropriate because he was defending the Black Lives Matter domestic terrorists.
Yes, he was. And
because
the cops did the right thing.
Yeah, they did the right thing. These officers should have done the same thing to Obama.
Yeah.
They should have absolutely refused. In fact, there was one officer when he got a bunch of applause right behind him over his shoulder.
Yeah.
He didn't applaud. Well, and I don't know who he is, but I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so let's hear some audio. We'll see what we got.
And I understand these protests, I see them. They can be messy. Sometimes they can be hijacked by an irresponsible few. Police can get hurt. Protesters can get hurt. They can be frustrated.
All right.
Let's end it right there.
So protesters can get hurt. Hijacked by an irresponsible few. When Black Lives Matter marches and chants pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon.
Or what do we want? Dead cops.
When do we want them now?
Yeah.
What do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them now? And I don't know the number of posts on Facebook and tweets that we want to kill cops, but from what I've seen, it's got to number in the thousands.
Innumerable.
If we knew them, if we knew them all, it's got to number in the thousands.
Wow.
And for Barack Obama not to condemn Black Lives Matter for those chants.
Yeah, by name. Yes, he should.
By name. For the leaders of Black Lives Matter should have been arrested and charged with conspiracy to murder.
Yes. Them and Louis Farrakhan, who actually called for 10,000 fearless men to rise up to kill those who are killing us. He actually said those words.
Yeah.
He's walking the streets free today, and there's five cops who were ambushed and murdered. And he's walking the streets, and the leaders of Black Lives Matter are walking. Not only are they walking the streets, they're organizing more protests. They shut down the 405 in L.A. yesterday, and the cops had to stand there and watch. And they just let them do it. They let them step out in the freeway and stop the busiest freeway in the world. They allowed these criminals to shut it down.
So Black Lives Matter should be a domestic terrorist group. And no, they should not get permits to march.
No.
But Obama will defend them regardless of their hatred and their rage, as I discussed on the show yesterday. Mm. It has nothing to do with cops shooting unarmed black men. Nothing to do with that. It is self-hatred. It is self-loathing for the failure that, in speaking in generalities, the black community has become, with more than 7 out of 10 black children born without a dad in the house.
Yeah.
And the utter failure of the black church and the black local city councils and police chiefs. And in Baltimore, where the murder rate is 1 in 500.
That was a shocking statistic.
And 350 officers have left the department.
Yeah.
And we're going to see police departments in major cities shrinking.
Oh, can you? I mentioned this. How many policemen's wives on Friday morning went to their husband and said, "Honey, please, can you find some
resign,
other line of work?
Or move out of this city. Go find some small town, small mountain town police department." And how about the officers who walked off the job? They were heroes
at a
basketball game. These officers walked off the job.
That was in Minneapolis. This was a WNBA game. And the basketball players showed up with shirts supporting Black Lives Matter. And four Minneapolis cops walked off the job. They walked
praise
away.
Praise God that they walked away.
And now,
that was
fabulous. And that is the right thing for them to do. But think about it. It's scary. Because this is what cops are going to start doing. They're going to walk off the job. And then what's going to happen?
Yeah.
It's not going to be pretty.
Oh, it's going to be a nightmare, Doug, of course. It's already a nightmare, and it's just going to get worse.
And listen to what the NBA had to say. They issued a statement. They offered their condolences to every family impacted by the recent tragic events in Baton Rouge, Dallas, and St. Paul. So equivocating. What they don't even, we don't even know if the shootings in Baton Rouge and St. Paul were illegal or criminal.
Unjustified.
They may have been justified.
Well,
we don't know all the facts, but they very well may have been justified.
Right. When somebody calls 911 saying that there's a thug brandishing a weapon at a convenience store late at night.
That was Baton Rouge.
And the police go to defend the community from whatever criminal is brandishing a weapon, and they're fighting with him, and they are concerned that he is trying to grab his weapon to shoot them, and they shoot him.
They shot him, and at the very least, they deserve the benefit of the doubt until we get all
of
the facts.
Of course they do, and as I said on the show yesterday, the rules of engagement find their own level.
Yeah, this is true.
Rules of engagement find their own level, and when the inner city neighborhood becomes a war zone, then the police will not act like law enforcement officers. They will act like soldiers on the front line, and that is unavoidable.
Yeah, it's a necessity. Yeah,
that is you cannot change that reality unless you're hiring human beings to be target practice, to be the targets in open season on cops.
Mm. Yeah, boy, you said it. Now, this is all quite depressing. It's disturbing. It makes me concerned for the future and what kind of cities are my kids going to live in? What kind of cities are our kids going to grow up in, Bob?
Yeah.
It's terrifying. I want to know about the other prediction because I know that it will at least lift my spirits.
Oh, yeah.
Because the rest of this is, I need
because
my blood pressure to go down.
There's a worldview battle
that
is fierce, and it's between godlessness and biblical Christianity.
Hmm.
And there's a spectrum in between, filled with a lot of very confused Christians who are mostly liberal,
right?
Meaning mostly godless in their worldview.
Mm.
But, okay, so Fred Williams and I on Real Science Radio, we predicted when dinosaur soft tissue is discovered, and they say this is very rare, and we say, no, it's not rare, it's common. It's going to be found commonly.
I remember you said that.
Original biological material in fossils throughout the dinosaur layers and below.
Yes, the Cambrian, the Precambrian.
Yeah, all that stuff. Jurassic.
Jurassic. Mesozoic.
Yeah, all that.
I remember all those.
Paleozoic.
I learned all those in eighth grade.
And we said this. We said, not only will it be common, which has been confirmed. I mean, the journal Nature says this is way more common than we ever imagined.
And that's a bunch of right-wing young earth creationists over at the journal Nature.
If you look for soft tissue in dinosaur bones, you're going to find them.
How about that?
All you have to do is look.
Right.
So, and because of evolution, they haven't looked in the last century.
That's right.
150 years.
Yeah.
So our other prediction was, no matter how old the alleged fossil, because these dinosaur fossils are like 68 million years old, 80 million years old, like that.
100 million.
So we said, no matter how old, they're going to find original biological material, because for the most part, it was all buried in the global flood at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, in the deeper layers, they'll have higher temperatures. So you might find a bit less, but you're going to find it no matter where you look. So now, in the journal Nature Communications,
okay,
Doug, they found proteinaceous material, that is, original biological molecules that are still observable in gunflint chert, which they date at 1.8 billion years old.
Billion?
1.8. So until now, the oldest they found is 500 million.
Okay.
Now we got original biological material from, they think, 1.8 billion years ago. And they say, well, golly, who could have thunk it would last that long? But in reality, it's just like Egyptian mummies that we know they're, you know, like 5,000 years old or so.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's mostly decomposed, there's little bits of remaining organic material.
Mm.
And the same thing is true throughout the fossil record. So this stuff is all thousands of years old. It's dinosaurs were not millions of years ago. Diamonds that are supposed to be 2 billion years old have carbon-14 in them. And Brian Thomas, scientist, in this studio on Friday last week, and we recorded two shows, the next one to air in 3 days from now.
Yes.
Brian Thomas and I predicted that in CHERT, they're also going to find carbon-14 also.
And carbon-14 lasts at
thousands of years.
Yes.
Thousands, just thousands.
Thousands of
years. Not a million years.
Not a billion.
And CHERT is supposed to be a billion years old. Diamonds are supposed to be billion years old. And there's carbon-14 in all this stuff.
Now, hold on. 1.8 billion, that's almost 2 billion.
It's almost half the age of the Earth, and they're saying these bacteria have not fully decomposed. These microorganisms have not fully decomposed.
And that's
in half the age of the Earth.
Wow.
The evidence for biblical creationism is overwhelming everywhere you turn.
Yes, yes.
Well, every day.
Your predictions are very reliable because they are made based on a biblical worldview.
Yes.
And so your predictions can pretty... you can count on your predictions to come true.
Well, on carefully studying the Bible as the authors intended it to be understood and as the Holy Spirit intends it to be understood.
Mm, yeah.
Not twisting it to defend some kind of agenda.
Yeah, or to sell a book or to book a tour, you know, like...
Yeah. Like the end times guys.
Let's go to a guy who I really like, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Jonathan Cahn, who wrote The Harbinger.
Oh, yeah.
He made some predictions.
In the mystery of the Shemitah?
The mystery of the Shemitah or
Shemitah.
Shemitah. I think it's Shemitah if you're from New York. I think it's Shemitah if you're from Jerusalem.
Okay. And so Jonathan Cahn was on the show a few years ago.
Yeah. And matter of fact, March of 2013.
That's when he was on.
He was on the show. I researched
and
that.
And did the interview about his book, The Harbinger, which I had to read for the interview.
Yeah.
And then our show summary, it's only like, if you print it out, maybe 3-4 pages long.
Mm.
And it critiques The Harbinger, showing the falsehoods in the effort to interpret, to try to force that during 9/11, these biblical prophecies were coming to pass.
Yeah.
Which was a falsehood.
Right.
And he made a major prediction.
He did.
That there would be economic collapse in 2015.
Uh-oh.
And so What year is it now?
I believe it's 2016.
You sure?
Well, it's the year after 2015. I know that, which may or may not be 16.
So 2015 is past?
It's over.
So if our Christian brother, Jonathan Kahn, who loves the Lord.
And we love Jonathan Kahn.
Yeah.
We do.
And he preaches the gospel and he stands up for biblical morality.
He does.
But he's been seduced by this, interpret the headlines as though they're fulfillment of these prophecies.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to twist all that around.
Mm-hmm.
And if he would have paid closer attention to our discussion, if we would have taken our written show summary to heart, then he could have averted the embarrassment of his failed prophecy of economic collapse for last year, ending in September of last year, and the whole all the blood moon stuff, which was all false.
Wait, he meant the fiscal year. The fiscal year could end,
no,
depending on how your corporation is structured.
No, he ended it. The Lord's fiscal year?
No, he
ended it in September. I think it was September.
So that is embarrassing.
2015.
Now, how do you talk your way out of that? If you're making your living based on prophecy.
If you make your living based on Y2K and the blood moons and the Shemitah or whatever.
Yeah.
Shemitah. However you
say that three times fast. Shemitah.
You ignore it.
You just ignore it and you're allowed to do
that? That's normally the way it goes.
You're just allowed to get by with that.
And Christians cut each other slack, but unbelievers remember that these guys are untrustworthy.
That's it.
And then they extrapolate to say the Bible's untrustworthy, whereas if you go to kgov.com/predictions, you will find a stunning list of predictions, stunning, that we have made on Real Science Radio and Bob and Your Live over the last quarter century with phenomenal confirmations, and also predictions confirmed made by our favorite scientist, Walt Brown.
Oh, yeah, he's got a bunch.
Oh, yeah. And then on the global flood. And then stunning predictions that are inherent in our young Earth model that we also list, whereas maybe no Christian got around to stating the obvious, but there they are, these predictions that are confirmed 1,000 times over.
So it's a matter of reading the Bible the way it was meant to be interpreted and not trying to force your own agenda into the whole thing.
Like a day is millions of years. And,
because you don't have to do that. The thing is I want to let Jonathan Kahn know that it's just not necessary. He's a tremendous preacher of the gospel.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah, but you know, you get more famous if you talk about aliens and demons and prophecy fulfilled. And, people tend to not keep track of all the errors, except for unbelievers. And then they use that as a stumbling stone to go to hell.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. It's not that the believers are going to be hurt all that bad by misinterpreting or whatever. It's not going to affect them too much, but the atheists, they remember this stuff.
Yeah, they use it as an excuse, whereas Jesus should be the stumbling block and the rock of offense.
Mm.
Jesus should be the reason why people go to hell, not some Christian's false teaching.
Well, very, very
so,
well stated.
Potheads in Canada, Doug.
Yes, what about these potheads in Canada?
Stupid? Okay, so.
Now, wait a minute. Now, they haven't legalized marijuana in Canada.
Oh, don't worry. They're working on it big time.
Oh, is that right?
You know how it's in the news every day here?
Every day.
There, too.
Oh, really?
And so they're working on it. They're trying to catch up to Colorado. But our dear friends at the Unicorn Ranch in Abbotsford, British Columbia.
That sounds nice. I like that.
It's not really a unicorn ranch, but it might as well be because astounding things happen there on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And that's where this Christian men's group meets, Sons of Thunder. And so they're giving Cheryl and I a tour. And they say, okay, here's the checkpoint at the border between the U.S. and Canada. And so these potheads wanted to smuggle marijuana into British Columbia from the U.S., so they decide to dig a tunnel, and they get one house in Canada, another house in the U.S., and they spend many weeks digging this tunnel. And meanwhile, the Border Patrol agents from both countries are watching the whole thing. They're right next to the checkpoint.
Wait a minute.
They don't stop them. They just photograph everybody. And
no, wait. The potheads picked a house.
right next to the checkpoint that's manned 24/7 by Border Patrol agents from both nations. And so when they finally finish, after many weeks of hard work and hauling all the dirt away, the police arrest everybody involved. So I concluded from this that potheads in Canada are just as stupid as potheads in the U.S.
I would agree with that analysis. That's
This marijuana does not respect national boundaries.
No, the border doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah. That's a fact.
How many of these latest slate of criminals and others are potheads, Doug? We don't know yet. It's too new.
No, but that is going to come out. That is going to come out. How many of them are smoking pot?
Yeah, right. Who's the potheads? Who are the potheads who resisted the police? Who are the potheads trying to commit suicide by cop?
Yeah.
It's going to come. Well, it might come out. I think, you know, I contacted the coroner's office in San Bernardino and asked, where's the autopsy on these two terrorists? It's been forever. And this one clerk said, you mean we haven't put that out yet? I'm like,
what?
No, you haven't put that out yet. So he said he'd check it, look into it, but no autopsy. But I want to know if the husband was a pothead.
Yeah.
Not that it's the most significant thing in the world, but we have a number of Muslim terrorists in the U.S. who are potheads.
Yeah.
And that helps you to be able to no longer think straight and lower your inhibitions and increase your immorality. Yeah. So I just want to know. And your paranoia and your schizophrenia.
That's right.
So
go to kgov.com/pot because it's been well documented there. And we will update that when the facts come out, when and if the facts come out. Yeah. May have to wait till Judgment Day to update that.
And Doug, our video on YouTube, Negative Effects of Marijuana, that's doing well. That's now embedded in our pot page, our article on pot. And by the way, I predict, here's another prediction.
All right.
I predict that by the end of the year, we're going to be on page one of Google results for negative effects of marijuana.
All right. That's a bold prediction.
That'll be tough.
Less than 6 months from now. Everybody listening, go click on it.
Extremely competitive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anything marijuana search term. So if you Google negative effects of marijuana, right now you'll probably find KGov on page two. But you could help us climb the ranks of those results. And when we get on page one, more likely people are going to find it.
And it's important because as the laws against drugs are relaxed and dissolved and tossed away, more and more people are going to start thinking, well, maybe I want to do this.
Yeah.
And hopefully some of them will stumble across the article and the video, and they'll get some good information because it's serious permanent damage, permanent brain damage we're talking about. And, well, you could end up getting yourself killed if you smoke pot and act stupid like so many.
But, hey, Doug, this men's group up in Abbotsford.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
I want to hear more about it.
And they've got a man cave.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody says to me for the rest of my life, I got a man cave, I'm going to say, your man cave stinks. Stinks compared to the Unicorn Ranch.